This morning, President Trump told reporters he thinks the Republican tax cut plan will pass next week, even though right now it may not have the votes. And he said Republican Roy Moore, who lost Tuesday's special election in Alabama, should concede the race.
The president was on his way to give a graduation speech at the FBI National Academy when he spoke at his helicopter and also slammed the FBI, calling the agency's Russia investigation a Democrat hoax. He was asked several times if he would pardon his former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, who has pled guilty to lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russians just before the inauguration. Here's what the president said.
I don't want to talk about pardons for Michael Flynn yet. We'll see what happens. Let's see.
Yet. Is that leaving a door open?
Our weekly politics roundtable joins us. Jesse Hollins at the Associated Press. Hi, Jesse.
How you doing?
Doing well. And Brian Bennett joins us today. He covers the White House for the Los Angeles Times. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Robin. Hi, Jeremy.
And Brian, let's start with tax cuts. There's been some last-minute jockeying going on. Senator Marco Rubio had said he wouldn't support the plan in its final form unless there's a big change, an expansion of the child tax credit. It now looks like that may have happened. But is there any fear on the part of Republicans that this bill won't pass?
This is an interesting last-minute gamble by Senator Rubio to really try to put a flag down for low- and middle-income families. I think we'll see maybe a few other stunts like this over the next 48 hours. And right now, Republicans seem confident that they're going to get it because they really believe that everyone's going to come together for the party to make the case that they need to do this to have a win for this year. But I think we're going to see some gamesmanship right at the last minute. People like Marco Rubio trying to hold their vote back to get some of their priorities through.
But you think they'll eventually support the bill?
I think that's my guess, yeah, is that it could come down to the wire, but that there's enough momentum behind the Republicans they could move it through next week.
Well, then, Brian, I want to ask you, because it is a Republican-crafted bill, are they ready to get rid of the individual mandate? Sounds like they are, but estimates say it'll lead to 13 million people losing their health insurance. You have the father with ALS, A.D. Barkin, who confronted Jeff Flake on an airplane about his vote on this. He's in Congress this week in his wheelchair, begging lawmakers not to cut the health care that could give him a few more years with his child. You know, not a very good optic. Any hesitation, Brian?
There are senators like Jeff Flake who know that this is a really difficult issue for them. And I think that Roy Moore's loss in Alabama has emboldened those senators who have stood up to Donald Trump in the past, like Senator Flake. And it's possible they'll try to use that moment for some leverage to try to take it a little bit farther on the individual mandate. But yeah, we'll have to watch and see how the games play out.
Jesse?
Well, one of the things that we're seeing now is for the first time, the power of the individual center, especially on the Republican side, because Mitch McConnell needs every single Republican for this to pass. So now we're seeing people like what Marco Rubio is doing, and it's not going to surprise me to see some other senators, other Republican senators, start bringing up their pet issues because McConnell needs them, and even one vote could scuttle the whole thing. So I don't think we're at the end of the gamesmanship. It wouldn't surprise me to see Susan Collins or Ted Cruz or Jeff Flake bring up their own personal issues that they want in this bill because McConnell needs them. He can't get it passed without him.
Well, while we're talking about the Senate, I just want to ask you about the earthquake that happened this week, the victory by Doug Jones, the Democrat, over Roy Moore in the Alabama Senate election. The Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was asked if the special election results were a referendum. Here's what he said.
This was a referendum. The middle class and suburban middle class people said, we want change. And when that happens in Alabama, that's happening everywhere in America.
Brian, what do you think this means, this victory? Obviously, it may not make any difference for the tax cut package because Doug Jones hasn't been seated yet. But what about next year?
Well, it definitely emphasizes that every single vote in the Senate counts. It makes senators like Senator Rubio and Senator Flake and others much more powerful in the Senate than they would have been otherwise. And also it gives momentum to the Democrats going forward. They feel like they're emboldened that their message was part of what broke through in Alabama.
Now, Jesse, you wrote about the impact of the African-American vote there.
Right. One of the things that we saw through both the Virginia gubernatorial election, the New Jersey gubernatorial election, and now in Alabama is that President Trump's first year in office has energized black voters. What we saw in Alabama was a voter turnout similar to what we saw for Barack Obama's two elections. So that has to be one thing that has the Democrats happy going into next year, is that the black vote seems to be energized for them. And this should worry some Republicans in some southern states and other states where black voters are concentrated, because people are now showing up to vote against Republican candidates. And that doesn't bode well for them down the line.
Well, it was just go ahead, Brian.
One thing that I thought was interesting about Roy Moore's loss this week was President Trump's reaction. He had a pretty muted reaction in his tweets on Twitter. He congratulated Doug Jones on his victory. And I kind of saw an underlying message there from President Trump, which is, yes, this was a tough loss for the Republicans, a tough loss for me, but it was an election result, and I think we should respect it. And I think there was an echo of his own insecurities about his election result and wanting people to let go of that.
Well, some people are speculating it could also be that he's hoping for a Scott Brown moment. You know, as President Obama very graciously welcomed Scott Brown when he upset the election in Massachusetts, and then Scott Brown voted with him. So maybe President Trump is hoping for that same moment. But we were talking about race and its impact in many of the last few elections. And that kind of brings to mind Omarosa, the former Apprentice contestant and Trump's highest level African-American advisor. Now, she says she was not fired, as reports have it this week, not escorted off the White House grounds. And on ABC, she was asked her thoughts about the president's handling of issues involving race. Let's listen.
I have seen things that have made me uncomfortable, that have upset me, that have affected me deeply and emotionally, that has affected my community and my people. And when I can tell my story, it is a profound story that I know the world will want to hear.
Jesse, she might just be selling a book, you know, and when she
might.
Says,
yes,
right.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, this is not a White House, despite its claims, that has diversity. And her exit has made that, you know, has really underscored that.
No matter how the White House or Omarosa spins it, it was not a graceful exit for her. And one of the things that everyone's waiting to see is how much will she actually talk about what's going on inside the White House. She has the ear of, I should say has, she had the ear of the president through his first year. We don't know what she knows or what was said inside the White House. And now we're all wondering what she's going to say now that she's out. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how she carefully walks that line between having been a former Trump official and what she can say now that she's free of the White House.
Well, speaking of former Trump officials, we heard President Trump talk about Michael Flynn, his fired national security advisor, at the top of the segment. Brian, where are we on the Russia investigation right now? What's happened?
So Republicans and the White House are hoping that Mueller is getting ready to wrap up his investigation. The president's lawyer, Ty Cobb, has said he was hoping that Mueller would wrap up his investigation of the president by the end of the year. Now, that sounds like wishful thinking, especially when investigators like Mueller get started on something. They're like a dog with a bone, and they're very unlikely to let it go. That said, you know, Mueller will continue to have to keep his shop open to move forward with the prosecution of Paul Manafort, President Trump's former campaign manager who has been charged.
Do you expect any more indictments?
It's possible. It's possible there would be more indictments. There's been some reporting that the list of people they want to interview over the Russia collusion question, they've interviewed everyone on that list at this point. But that doesn't mean that they won't find something that they'll want to go back to people for, and that something could be uncovered that could lead to another indictment, or they want to pressure a lower-level person and indict them and try to squeeze them or get a plea deal out of them.
Yeah. Look, you guys, we'll have a week to go till Christmas next week. It's normally a time when, lawmakers maybe leave town and there's not a lot going on. But next week, of course, we have the tax bill. Is there anything else? It's the end of the year, and this is an administration that really wants to show that it's accomplished something. We have the FCC overturning net neutrality. Is there any other shoe that you think might drop next week?
Well, we know that on December 22nd, the funding for the government runs out, so there's going to be another battle on over spending that. The Democrats still want to try to insert protections for people brought to the country illegally as children into that bill. There's going to be a big fight over that.
And don't forget that they got to confirm some more judges before they leave town as well. So we might see a whole rush of judges coming through.
Well, and there's talk of trying to take apart immigration as well. I know we're going to be talking about judges today. Jeremy.
Yeah, there was that unbelievable viral video of one of President Trump's judicial nominees just unable to answer a single question. Brian, did you see that?
Yes. Yeah, it is really amazing. And there have been a few
video
of those picked off.
What would you say, Brian?
There have been a few of President Trump's judicial nominees picked off that have withdrawn their nominations because they were deemed unqualified, and even Chairman Grassley of the Senate Judiciary Committee felt like they weren't good picks.
And yet he's been able to get a lot more through than President Obama did in his first year. So we'll keep an eye on that. Brian Bennett, White House correspondent for the Los Angeles Times, and Jesse Holland, who covers race and ethnicity and politics for the Associated Press. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy.